Sometimes we like to make things harder than they need to be. You might think to yourself, well, that doesn't sound right. That sounds the opposite of what I like to do. I like things to be easy. I like to coast through life. If I can save steps, I'll save steps. If I can use a different ingredient that's less expensive and quicker to use, I will do that. I'm always trying to make my life easier, but I don't necessarily know if that's true if we're really honest with ourselves. Sometimes we like to make things, or maybe we don't like to, we end up making things harder than they need to be. You don't think so? Have you ever procrastinated? Oh my goodness, I need to fix the windowsill. The windowsill is a little floppy. There's a piece of vinyl that's kind of hanging off of it a little crooked. I got to fix that windowsill. But you know what? I just don't know if I've got the tools for that. Of course, you could probably use a butter knife and a screwdriver, but I just don't know if I have the tools for that. Or you might say, you know what? I just don't know what to buy. Goodness gracious, we bought those windows so many years ago. They're so out of date, I just don't know what to do with them. I'll bet you that I can't even find parts for that anymore. Things change, right? We procrastinate. And so in our minds, we can make things or hope things are more difficult than they probably are just because, well, let's go on to the next one. I just don't want to do it. Now, of course, you know, you can't say that you just don't want to do it. And I really need, in the fall, I really need to go out and rake and burn the leaves. But by golly, I just don't want to do it. And so how do we make that hard? Well, you know, my rake, it's so old. Have you seen my rake? I mean, there's tines missing off of it. Is that what you call those things, tines? I had to kind of dredge my mind for that word. Tines are missing off of it. It's bent. It doesn't look right. It's just, I can't pick anything up with that doggone thing. And you know, oh, I'm having back problems. I had back problems last year. I don't want to get that going again. So I think those leaves are just going to have to sit. And then what do I do with them afterwards? I can't just burn them. You know, in my neighborhood, we can't just burn things like they can out in the country. Now, that's just a silly example, but what's the third reason, though? The third reason, and maybe this affects us even more so, making things harder than they need to be, and that can be we're just simply afraid. We're afraid. You get that ache, you get that pain, you get that cramp in your body, there's dislocation, something gets out of whack, you pull your shoulder, you know you need to go to the doctor, and what do you say? Oh, it'll get better. I just need to sit down. I just need to, you know, if I go to the doctor, you know what that's going to do to my health insurance? That's going to make my health insurance go up. I can't go to the doctor. I can't get that taken care of because it's just going to throw everything out of whack. Or, you know what, I go to the doctor and what are they really going to do? What are they really going to do for me? Just prescribe me another pill and so we're going to wait it out, aren't we? And meanwhile, we suffer. And in some instances, if we're really afraid, it can be something chronic that needs to be taken care of, and we let it go too long. Sometimes we make things harder than they need to be, for all different kinds of reasons. Some of them may be justified in our minds, in our actions, in our world, but some of them are just excuses. Excuses for inactivity. Same thing goes for God, serving God and serving one another, including one another in our lives, in each other's lives. Being right with God. You heard that say, you know, I want to be right with God. Or how do you be right with God? And so we start off, if we're not very familiar with the Christian faith or if we've been removed for a while, and, you know, I don't know what to say. What am I supposed to say? I don't know. I can't read that Bible. I don't have time to read that Bible. I know Pastor sometimes talks about reading the Bible. I got a Bible from my grandma. That thing's 800 pages long. I can't sit down and start reading that thing. I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do? I hear different answers. Well, on one side, I'm supposed to do a whole bunch of stuff. Then on the other side, I just really can't do much at all. What do I believe? What do I do? I'm in a quandary. Or it could just simply be that the problem is simply too big. We psych ourselves out, don't we? We say, whoa, no, God can't be that merciful. God can't be that loving. You don't know some of the things I've done. You don't know some of the things I've said. You don't know some of the pitfalls in life that I've fallen into. And I just cannot believe that God is that loving. I just can't believe it. So, you know what? I'll worry about it tomorrow. Why bother to start? God can be too complicated. The subject can be too complicated. We trade serving others and serving God for theology. Well, I've got to know all this complicated theology. You know, that takes a degree, probably. Got to memorize stuff, right? Got to memorize those Ten Commandments. Got to memorize all those laws in the Bible. Got to try to memorize all the stories that Jesus shared. And you know what? I'm just going to end up messing it up anyway. I'm going to get in a conversation with somebody, and I'm going to say something, and they're going to correct me, and then I'm going to feel silly. We make it hard, don't we? We make it harder than it needs to be. Let's go to our first lesson for today. God has a word for us in the first reading. And what's fascinating is that this comes from the book of Deuteronomy, which is one of the books of the law. We would go to the Old Testament, to the book of Deuteronomy, and maybe we wouldn't expect to see this. But what do we see? God is talking to the Israelites. God is talking to his people. But God talks to us as well. Because remember, Paul says in Romans, we're grafted onto that branch through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when God talks in the Old Testament, he's talking to us as well. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors, when you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now notice the order, and it's the opposite of how it's printed on the paper. You would read that, you would think, okay, well, what I got to do first is I got to observe his commandments, which means I got to learn his commandments, which means, and I got to figure out what the book of the law is. But notice what happens. The people observe the commandments and the decrees of the book of the law because why? Because they have turned to their Lord, their God, with all their heart and with all their soul. You see, that's first. That's first. Even in the book of Deuteronomy, that's first. We turn to the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul, and sometimes all of our heart and all of our soul can just simply be a bunch of questions. Boy, have I got a lot of questions. That's fine. Asking questions is the beginning of searching. Searching comes about why? Because we feel that tug in our heart and in our mind. And why is that there? That's there because the Holy Spirit is prodding you. Otherwise, you would just feel total apathy. I don't care. That's the enemy of faith. It's not questions. Questions are the beginning of faith seeking understanding. And look at what God says. You're worried about the Word of God? You're worried about the Word of God? It's not in heaven. It's not separated from you in heaven. Neither is it beyond the sea. You don't have to go to some exotic place or some exotic thing in order to learn about the Word of God. No, the Word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. It is in your heart and in your mouth for you to observe. Go to the front of the bulletin cover. I love this. I saw this. I put this down and I shouldn't have. The front of the bulletin cover, it cracked me up. When you take things and you put it kind of in the modern idiom, it's kind of fun. I don't do this very often, but as I was looking for a graphic for the bulletin this week, this one struck me. So let's be really straight-laced, and let's be really Lutheran, and let's read the top one. Know the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. Now let's go to the other one. And the other one cracked me up because it was kind of like, okay, if we were going to say this and put this in the modern day language, the word's right here and now, as near as your as the tongue in your mouth, as near as the heart in your chest, just do it. And I don't, that just cracked me up this week as I was looking for the graphic. That one just made me kind of laugh because it's just so plain, so simple, so straightforward. And probably in the way in which we speak today, probably touches our hearts and our minds more than the strict straight lace verse from up top. Both of them are correct. They both pretty much say the same things, just in a different way. So it's about feeling it in our heart. It's about thinking about it in our mind, but not overthinking it to where we become distracted or we lose track. Let's go to our second lesson for today. Our second lesson, Paul is talking to the church in Colossae, the Colossians. And notice what Paul writes there, starting with verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience. Paul is praying for the people that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I don't necessarily think that comes from a book. I don't necessarily think they're pulling scrolls apart and they're reading necessarily about God's spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is something that comes through prayer, and it is something that Paul is praying for these people to receive, to be filled with the knowledge of spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I'm going to tell you what that's all about in just a bit. But look how it just kind of fans out after that. Lead lives worthy, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God, so that why? So that you may be made strong with the strength that comes from his glorious power. Let's face it. Everything in the world, if you want to become strong, you've got to practice it. If you want to become good, you've got to practice it. If you want to ride your bicycle, you got to get on it and fall off a couple times. If you want to learn music, you got to sit there and, whether it's guitar or keyboard, and try to figure out what the heck your fingers, your mind may know what to do, but you can't get your fingers to do it. And that's one of the big first steps of music. And on and on and on. Conversation. How to talk to people. And so forth and so on. These things don't usually come from a book. Books can direct us, but Paul is praying for these people that they receive the spiritual wisdom and understanding, and then with that spiritual fullness in their heart, they can serve. They can serve and they can love. And in serving and in loving, they grow strong. And why do they grow strong? Because day after day after day, they realize more and more and more who they are, who God is, their relationship with God, and how God blesses them so incredibly. And once you have that in your heart and in your mind, that you are blessed and loved by God, you will be strong. There will be very few things that this world can throw at you to knock you off track. And when it tries, well, as Paul is doing today, God is just a prayer away. Let's go to our gospel and conclusion of the message for today. We're talking about spiritual wisdom and understanding. The day we heard it, we've not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. What is God's will? Well, the young man, the young lawyer, says it. He's probably learned it from some book. But notice how he doesn't have it in his heart, because he challenges the very thing that he's talking about. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What's written in the law? What do you read there? You'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself, says the young man. And Jesus is like, you've given the right answer. There it is. Do this and you will live. But notice how, what does the young man, the lawyer, have to do? He's got to make it hard. And so we're going back to the very beginning of the sermon, aren't we? How sometimes our human nature wants to make things hard. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? He thinks he's going to zing Jesus. He thinks he's going to get him. And then Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Which of these three do you think showed the will of God, the one who showed him mercy? And so we see that it's actually easy as far as knowing what to do. What's hard is the battle of doing it. Do we face that procrastination? Do we just flat out not want to do it? I don't want to do it. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to talk about God. I don't want to read my Bible. Or are we afraid? I'm afraid to ask the questions because I'm afraid of what the answers might be. And God washes all those away. All those impediments can be washed away if we come to Him with that full knowledge of God's will, which is nothing more or less than opening up our hearts and saying, Thy will be done. I open up my heart to you, Lord. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know what it's going to mean, but I am going to wait. I am going to be silent. I am going to listen. And when I receive that word, I will then go and act. And I will bring your love into the world. That's all we're called to do as Christians. Sometimes so hard when we battle our human nature, but in the end we are strong. Strong and resilient because of it. So go forth knowing that God has extended love and salvation to you. What is God's will? Just love one another. Love one another. And love God as well. Amen.